even being fully vaccinated, got the COVID. So that's what we're talking about.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our calling number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the No Porcini America lover, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How are ya?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here, as always.
It is Monday. We're halfway through the month of July, or actually three-quarters of the way through. No, halfway through the month of July. A little more than halfway. Great weekend.
Went fast.
Mm-hmm. It went fast. Yeah. How was your weekend?
Excellent. Yours?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Played a little golf, you know, sat in front of the TV. Watched a little British Open and great weekend of golf at the British Open. And I'll tell you, this kid, Colin Morikawa, this young man, Colin Morikawa, is unbelievable. I mean, he kept his control. He kept his poise on Saturday. He was still two strokes behind. But, you know, for the PGA's fourth major now, it appears that the British Open is going to be the last of the majors in a PGA year. It was very well done. It was held at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. The weather was so good that it just blew away, you know, what the Brits could do, the RNA could do to set up the course, but the course was absolutely beautiful. And the U.S. golfers did very well, finishing first and second. USA's Jordan Spieth gave it a run yesterday, but in the end, the 24-year-old Colin Morikawa of the United States was victorious, holding on to a two-shot lead going into the 18th hole and winning his first British Open and second major of his young career. And actually, Al, Morikawa played so well yesterday in the last group alongside the leader going into Sunday, which was South African Louis Oosthuizen. For the second day in a row, Louis led. But I'll tell you, Louis just couldn't hold the lead. And, you know, even though he looked unbeatable for 2 days, his swing was so smooth, but Oosthuizen opened the door for Morikawa, and Morikawa walked right in. And Colin Morikawa played absolutely fantastic. You know, he was just something else. The young man is going to have some career. And Morikawa already joins now Tiger Woods as only the second player to win both the British and the PGA Championship under the age of 25. I mean, how oppressed Americans are for an Asian American to have an opportunity to play golf professionally and to have an opportunity to get an education, including earning a college degree, and then play a sport that he truly loves. So congratulations to Colin Morikawa to be the first golfer ever to be the youngest to win two majors in his first attempt. He's never played links golf, never seen the course, I should say, played links golf last week in the Scottish Open, didn't do too well, made some adjustments, and he was lights out this weekend. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yep, and a good kid, and President Biden even mentioned him a while back, saying he was a good Japanese boy, and our president is right.
No.
Kick things safe, but he is a very good golfer, very class act, very mature.
Yeah.
And
mature is the right word. He gave a speech at the end, and I was surprised he didn't thank the RNA, but he actually gave a really nice speech, and I'm sure when you're on that stage, it's a little bit different. But he thanked he said, watch out for the low amateur who was also wins an award, and Morikawa recognized the young amateur. So it was really cool. It really was.
Yeah, it was a very good tournament, very well done. A lot of people out there. I guess they opened it up to 32,000 people.
Yep.
And not a face mask to be seen, social distancing, what's that? And it all went off smoothly. And like you said, the weather, unusually fantastic.
Oh,
usually it's cold and rainy and wet and miserable, and it's a test, a real test with not only the golf but the weather. Huge pot bunkers. These are bunkers that if you get in them, you're dead meat. It's like you jump into a crater.
You literally have to go out sideways, and they're in the middle of fairways too. You don't realize it. You know, you're teeing off, and you think you hit a great drive down the middle of the fairway. It goes off just a little bit to the right or left, or even left to center, and boom, you're in a pot bunker. And it's like, what do you do? You can't get to the green, so you have to punch out. You know, go out sideways. I remember the first time I played this links course. You know, I was wondering why these guys were going down, cutting the corner, and I'm playing it down the fairway. I hit a beautiful drive. I have 110 yards to the green. It's a 430-yard hole, and I just smoke it, and I'm lying in a pot bunker, and I can't get to the green from 110 yards. I have to pitch out sideways, and I still made a par, though. I kept my composure, knowing that you have to take your medicine. I'm not as good as Morikawa. But, I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to take your medicine, learn to pick your shots, and play the sport. That's what makes it so great. So I'm sorry, you know, I know we kind of go off on the PGA, but it was just a beautiful tournament. It was a great win by Colin Morikawa. He played the British Open fantastic. I just very impressed with the young man.
And he's so humble. He says, hey, I'm not a good putter statistically, but I feel like I can get a lot better, quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
What a cool
and
thing
he did.
To say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not a good putter.
Key birdies. Yep.
He made key birdies.
2000 could never catch up.
On a par 3 16th hole, he gets into trouble, hits a terrible drive, and he's got to pitch it from the rough. Pitches it. Now the rough, we're talking about, you know, in seaweed rough. I mean, this is like, you know, this is really like spaghetti grass. Gets out. He's got 8 to 10 feet to save par, and he drains the putt. Now that's mental toughness. Okay. First of all, he made the proper shot. He left himself a putt. There's not a flat spot on these greens, by the way, and he still came through. So, you know, if you understand a little bit of golf, even if you don't, he just made a really – this kid made some great up and downs and very, very impressed with the young man. And overall, his demeanor, the way he plays the game, and how well-spoken he is.
Yep.
So
go to your driving range, get a lesson, and take up golf.
That's right.
And then get back.
That's right.
And then call in next week and tell us how it's going.
Remember, posture and grip, the two most important things. Did you see
speed
old
and tempo
Alex?
For me.
Speed and tempo for you. You got to stay in the box, baby.
That's right. I've got Coach looking down on me, giving me a hard time even today.
He is. Man, God bless you, Coach. Did you see anti-American Colin Kaepernick has come under fire from a UFC fighter, Jorge Masvidal, over Kaepernick wearing
yes.
a shirt that glorified communist dictator Fidel Castro? Masvidal posted a side-by-side picture of anti-American Colin Kaepernick wearing the shirt and Cubans waving the American flag during the protest. And Masvidal tweeted, American leftists who know nothing about real oppression and communism wear images of Castro while Cubans living in the horrors of communism and real oppression are waving the American flag. How profound is that? 140 characters and Masvidal absolutely nails it. Absolutely nails it.
Good for him. Good to see people standing up. In fact, Major League Baseball, they're a usual promoter of racism, acceptance of violence, burning the flag, and looting. Well, people are voting with their remote controls, Vito, against the NBA. The MLB ratings crashed 32%. And Major League Baseball, where they had the second lowest rating in history for the All-Star game. So good for you. Adios, Major League Baseball, and the NBA can kiss my ass.
Yeah, the NBA now, they say, well, it's two small markets that are playing, Milwaukee and Phoenix, but it's like down like 70%. People aren't watching. And you know what? Enough is enough. You know, how you're lauding a Marxist organization, Black Lives Matter. That's what you're doing. You're rewarding this type of anti-American movement. And then you've got the NFL, who's now going to play the Black National Anthem. And, you know, to the NFL, I hope you suffer the same consequences as Major League Baseball and NBA, because there is one national anthem. One. There's one. It's called the Star-Spangled Banner. One national anthem in America. And these cowards of the NFL, and now the NFL is gay as well. Getting back to this UFC fighter, God bless this man, Jorge Masvidal. He's not putting up with any of this Colin Kaepernick garbage, who is lauding Fidel Castro, a communist, a dictator, a tyrant, and a killer of the Cuban people. American leftists who know nothing about real oppression and communism were images of Castro while Cubans living in the horrors of communism and real oppression are waving the American flag. Waving the American flag, because the American flag is a sign of freedom and liberty. And you know what? The people who are suffering under the reign of communism and oppression, they understand what America stands for. And this Marxist movement that's underway in America to undermine our constitutional republic. Okay, these ungrateful SOBs, they need to move to Cuba. They need to move to Venezuela. If they're so oppressed in America where, you know, we can walk into any grocery store. Try walking into a grocery store in Cuba if you can find one. Okay? Just on that alone.
I did.
Oh, and what did you find?
When Cuba was open with the Obama administration, we took a boat over for the day from Key West over to Havana, spent the day there. Our guide, I said, take me to a grocery store, because you can tell a country by a grocery store. So sure enough, after begging for half a day and giving her a few drinks, she finally took me to a non-government-owned grocery store. Inside was rotting vegetables that stunk. And pictures of Fidel Castro in one corner, Che Guevara in the other. And it was like, I shook my head and I said, okay, this is what I knew. This Marxism, communism was like, and they can have it. So,
you know, a few years back, a friend of mine, they took in an exchange student. They enjoyed this, and it was really cool. They had an exchange student from Russia come, and the girl, young lady, she was probably, I don't know, she may have been 12 or 13 years old. She spoke a little English. So they went to a local grocery store, and I think it was a Piggly Wiggly, if I'm not mistaken. And they walk in, and they grab a cart, and the little Russian young lady is there with them. And they're walking down the aisle, and she's gone. And it's like, oh, my God. And my friend freaked out, you know. And so they're running back, and they see the girl, the little Russian girl. She's in the produce department. We have to walk. You walk in first, and there's a produce department, and you walk in, and she's just standing in the produce department, and she's crying. And they thought, well, my God, she's crying. She lost. What it turned out was she had never, ever seen a grocery store with that much food, and she cried. She was crying because she's never seen what we have in America. They don't see that. They didn't see that in Russia. Now, this was in the 90s, but I'll just never forget that story where the girl had never seen this type of food in a grocery store. And that's why it's really bizarre with these anti-Americans like Colin Kaepernick. This whole anti-American movement with BLM Antifa, you know, they're glorifying Che Rivera. They're glorifying Fidel Castro. The NBA glorifies China. You know, China writes the check. So therefore, the greed of the NBA players overrides the fact that they are living in a constitutional republic where they have the freedom of speech, they have the freedom to move, the liberties that they're enjoying, and yet they're lauding communist countries which indenture their people, which enslave their people, give their people no rights. The government is their right, and that's it. And it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. But, you know, this is what Marxism does. The pollution of progressive politics has really taken effect in America. It was a movement that was started in 1913, and it's just metastasized over the last 107, 108 years to the point now where you have these American haters where they hate our republic, including the Democrat Party. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party in America today.
Yeah, but they're in the media because this protest in Cuba was huge.
Massive.
And the first thing our media said, coming from the current administration, is that, oh, this is a protest over the virus. This is a protest over COVID. This is a protest over global warming or climate change. And these are the first stories that came out for probably 2 or 3 days. So that set the stage for these protests actually being ignored by most of the American people. But in reality, this is a protest against Marxism, against communism, against the current government. And these people, these Cubans, are brave because, I tell you, their leadership will be disappearing in the middle of the night, which is already starting to happen. The other people that are there, they are getting arrested. Their families are getting hassled. And once this is over, it's going to go back to normal like every dictatorship does. People are going to die. And these pro-American, pro-democracy Cubans are going to get spanked so they don't do it again for another decade.
And we
should be celebrating it as a country and helping them, at least culturally and with propaganda. But we're nowhere to be seen, at least with our mainstream media, unless I'm missing something.
Well, you're not missing anything, because it took Representative Dan Crenshaw and Senator Rubio to finally speak out against the insanity from this administration and how they were trying to spin with their propaganda machine, when in fact it wasn't global warming, climate change. It wasn't any of that nonsense. It isn't the Chinese virus. It's the fact that communism and oppression, indenturing people to the government and denying them rights. Rights don't exist in those countries. I mean, when you have the Cuban government is telling you what you can grow as for food, how much food you can grow, how many animals you can have. You know, if you have 3 cows, you can't have 3 cows. You can have maybe one. You know, you have the communist government who's dictating every aspect of your life. And what's happening is the worst thing that could have happened was opening up the country to America and to a lot of Western nations, to the entire island. And then what happens is the Cuban people get the flavor of freedom. They start to understand what's out there, you know, and they start to understand that the freedoms and liberties in America aren't suppressed by the government yet. And they look to these freedoms, and they start wanting the same things. They realize that the government has been lying to them. They understand that Fidel Castro is a tyrant. They know that because many of their relatives have been taken in the dead of night, and they've never been seen again. They understand it because their family had beautiful farms that were confiscated by the Cuban government, okay? And they told them how much land they could own and what they can grow. And unless they were part of the Fidel Castro dictatorship, you know, they could have their farm, but not that 50 acres, maybe an acre. You know, this is real stuff, okay? The communist movement was a bad thing. Oh, well, you know, according to Colin Kaepernick, the free education and the healthcare, bullshit. The healthcare sucks under a communist regime. And education? Yep. Education is nothing more than an indoctrination, you know, to the pollution of communism, for crying out loud. What are they trying to kid? They're absolutely, they're just plain retarded is what they are.
Yeah, what's worse than that, because the cable news stations told its dozens of viewers that global warming drove thousands of Cubans out of their homes with the heat, making them deliriously chant things like libertad and demand change from their socialist rulers. According to the station's pundits, there's no way protesters, at CNN is the station, that no way protesters could be opposed to the love and compassion of a socialist government, leading them to conclude that the culprit here must be a rapidly warming globe caused by humans. CNN could have said it, since it's not a news station, it's a 24-hour propaganda machine.
I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous.
Criminal.
That's malfeasance. There you go.
Yes,
thank you.
A big word. That means bullshit.
That is, That's absolute. That's ridiculous. You know, this whole global warming bullshit, this whole climate change is absolutely one of the biggest ruse by the left wing, the worldwide left. This is, you know, their religion, the worldwide left religion now is Mother Earth. That's their God. And this is they're demagoguing. They're flat out lying to the world. And CNN shamelessly, you know, cites global warming as a reason that people left their homes, when in fact it was the oppression and suppression by a dictatorial totalitarian government for 60 years plus. You know, why is it when you talk to a Cuban national who fled Cuba, you know, back in the 60s, in the late 50s, and in the early 70s, they all tell you the same thing, and they don't even know each other, that they fled this oppressive government. Their relatives were beaten for having political views that were contrary to the oppressive totalitarian regime of Fidel Castro. Come on, global warming. That's sick. It is journalistic malfeasance.
Hey, what if Mother Earth is a guy or a woman who identifies as a man?
There you go.
Huh?
And
nobody
today,
talks about
that's
that.
True. It should be Father Earth. We should take exception to that. Mother Earth could be a cross-dresser, for crying out loud. It's not the Atlantica
Earth,
Ocean.
It should be neutered Earth, neither male nor female.
Well, yeah, it's not the Atlantica Ocean. It's not the Pacifica Ocean. It's the Pacific Ocean. It's the Atlantica. That's masculine. So it should be Father Earth.
Yeah, but the DNA, I mean, you're either a DNA male or a DNA female. I didn't even know that Earth could be a gender. Who came up with this?
I don't know.
Silly.
It's dumb. Well, you know, speaking of freedom of speech, I want to thank Paul Sutler for sending over the story. A man who really exemplified speech, put his life on the line. A man by the name of Kurt Westergaard passed away at the age of 86.
Yeah.
Danish artist Kurt Westergaard, infamous for drawing a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad, which sparked outrage around the Muslim world, has died at the age of 86. Westergaard passed away in his sleep after a long period of ill health, and his family told the Danish newspaper on Sunday. The illustrator was behind 12 drawings published by a conservative daily newspaper, Jyllands Posten, under the headline, The Face of Muhammad, one of which sparked particular anger as it showed the prophet wearing a turban in the shape of a bomb. And I guess it was a great depiction because they did lose it. You know, the Islamists lost their minds. The Prophet Muhammad is revered by Muslims, and any kind of visual depiction is forbidden in Islam. The cartoons went almost unnoticed initially, but after 2 weeks, a demonstration against them was held in Copenhagen, and then ambassadors from Muslim countries in Denmark lodged a protest. So you see, it's never about assimilation. It's never about coming to the West and living peacefully, and it's always about submission, it's about domination, and it's about supremacy. So, and unfortunately, we all know what happened, you know, in January of 2015 at Charlie Hebdo, where what was it, 17 people were killed as a result of Islamic jihadists descending on Charlie Hebdo and killing people inside of the newspaper, and of course over at the Jewish market, which had nothing to do with Charlie Hebdo. So it's just flat out, you know, Islam going jihad.
Yep, he was famous for the picture with Muhammad with a bomb in his turban. It was a classic. Even had a couple of followers of Islam come to his house to try to kill him. In fact, I believe he had to go to a safe room, and I think he might have even gotten shot, but he recovered. So, yeah, they tried to assassinate him for a few cartoons of Muhammad with a bomb in his turban.
Yeah, you know, and here's a guy, all he was doing, you know, see, the intolerance of speech by the Islamic world. So, you know, they have a lot in common with the Marxist movement, where they want to control your speech, control your thought. basically tell you what to say and think. Let's see.
That's a hate group, Vito. They're a hate group, Assassination Squad, hate group over cartoons, and it's for real.
Yeah,
these
it was 2010.
And that's why people are afraid to say anything negative about the followers of Islam because they don't know how they're going to react. They could react violently and come and kill you because there's no expiration date on an offense. Now, going after Christians or going after capitalists is easy because they know that we're not going to kill anybody. Yeah, we'll get a little upset, but we're not going to do anything violent. But with the followers of Islam, you never know. Antifa will get violent at a heartbeat if you go after anarchists.
Right.
So everybody's
violent,
us, and we're the hate group. So it's an upside-down world.
But actually, you meant to say mostly peaceful protesters with Antifa. Sorry. You may want to clarify that.
My ass. They're anarchists. They don't believe in peaceful. What have you been drinking? You drank the Kool-Aid when I wasn't looking last week. They're nuts. They hate everybody. They want revolution. That's their thing. They want to break everything down and build it up new. But they're anarchists. They don't believe in any type of leadership, so it's doomed for failure. Hey, we got a call. I didn't screen them.
Go ahead. Put them on. Or her on. Sorry.
Or her.
Or her.
It.
Right.
Hello, it.
My pronoun is – hello. My pronoun is it. I am neither he nor she. It. You may call me an it. Because that's the way this fucking world is coming to.
Well, so, you are it.
I am.
You're
am
the itest
it.
Of the its.
I am El Itto. Yeah.
That's what's on your mind, Mr. Itto?
The thing is that when you're talking about the Muslims, even before the guy with his cartoon about Muhammad with the bomb in his turban, there was the author. I think maybe they even had a book about, they made a book out of his, a film out of his book, I'm not sure. But they had a fatwa against him 25 years ago.
Salman Rushdie.
That's him, I believe. Yeah. So there is no tolerance. That's why, one of the reasons why I don't care for religion at all, because there's always that heresy component. You must follow us or you might die or you go to hell, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a lot of shit. Plus you were talking about the Marxists and as though they were separate from the Muslim Brotherhood. As far as I'm concerned, they're all financed by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. So is communism. Mm. It's all about a control from the major families who own trillions of dollars worth of money and assets and property.
Oh, come on. You're
That's
just
my
jealous
opinion.
That you're not in that. You're just jealous that you haven't earned the right to become one of those families. Let's face
Who says I'm not?
You're jealous, aren't you? You're jealous. You want to be successful. I know. I can tell.
They initiated me as El Itto last week. So I am part of the Rockefeller Marxist Islamist bullshit.
What do you do for a living?
Okay.
What do you do for a living?
I assassinate people. That's my job.
Oh, you do?
That is...
Yeah. Comedian. You're a comedian.
That's what comedians do. They assassinate people.
Character assassination.
So, So, what do you think? I mean, do you think that the Marxists and the Muslim Brotherhood and whatever else is out there, the communism, you think they're all separate entities? They may feel they're separate entities, but I think they're all under the same umbrella.
Well, here's what I think, okay? The followers of Islam have been around for 1,400 years. The Rothschilds, not so much that long. The Marxists is a governmental, it's a governmental entity, kind of like capitalism. There's Marxism, and there's different degrees of socialism, totalitarianism, which are all different forms of governance, and where I think that you're getting a little bit confused with all the conspiracy theory stuff and blaming the Rothschilds and a few families, is that it really doesn't go anywhere because you're blaming families instead of looking at the form of governance. And yes, when you become that big of and rich, you're going to have influence, and out of that influence, there's going to be jealousy, and a lot of what I'm afraid you believe in is based on jealousy of the super wealthy and the super successful. See, I'm a capitalist. I want to be that 1%. I bust my ass to be that 1%. Do I have the skills to do it? I think so, but today's not the day. Maybe tomorrow it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen at all. Maybe I'll be driven in another direction. Maybe
That the Rothschilds, they have no influence or very little influence over the political situation.
No, absolutely not. They're titans of industry. There's titans of academics. Uh-huh. There's titans of technology. And, yes, they're old school, and, yes, the Illuminati and all that other stuff. You know, it's fun to go down that rabbit hole. But I look at it more as governments and forms of governance is how people are by the countries that they live in. It's how they're run.
Are they
interrelated? Do they have interlocking directorships, so to speak? Of course they do. Because we're people. But I don't believe that the Illuminati and all that control everything. And there's a lot of people that believe like you do, and God bless you. It means that you're engaged and you're thinking of things. You're looking outside the box, and that's wonderful, and you're a thinker. So God bless you for that. I just don't happen to buy what you're selling. But that's just me. I'm just one guy.
I'm just one guy. What do you think of the central banks?
I think that capitalism will overcome the power of the central bank because that's just how capitalism works. If you want a central bank, go to Russia. And yes, we've got it here, but we still are guided by capitalism. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Is our capitalism perfect? Absolutely not. Is our republic perfect? Hell no. We got problems. We're a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we are people and flawed. And there is no perfect utopian government out there, but I think America is the best country on planet Earth, and I will do everything in my power to support it, and I love our republic more than anything.
And so with the existence of a central bank, you're feeling that it will be somehow dominated, overpowered, conquered by capitalism.
No, it's there. It's there. Is it perfect? No. Does it have flaws? Yes. Should it be there? I'm not a big fan of it, but it is there. But it isn't. Yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I went down that road for a little while, and I rejected it.
Okay, we're gonna have to just. You have one last comment. I'll give you, and I have another call to take.
Okay, no problem. You can take them now if you want.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Hey,
thanks
appreciate
for calling.
It. Take care, Ed.
All right, you have a great day now.
All right.
Have a good week.
Good night.
Bye bye.
Hey, good evening.
That was a very. You know, that was a nice caller. He we didn't agree on things, but we could talk to him. We've had conversations with some of these people, and they're like a record player that just spews what's on the record without being able to think. This guy, he was a good call. Disagree, but hey, we like it when people disagree.
He was very professional about it, which was good.
Yeah, he wasn't a douchebag, and I like that.
Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. How are you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, hello. Not too bad. Hey, I just had a good lunch. A nice lunch, and now I'm talking with you guys, so hopefully I ate the right foods and my brain is functioning at near well capacity.
What's on your mind?
No McDonald's, no Burger King. So I had some seaweed, sweet potatoes, and shrimp. So, you know, I think I did okay.
Healthy.
Yeah, I'm in Hawaii, but that doesn't mean you're going to eat healthy because you live in a place that supposedly you have healthy foods, but it's not true. But anyways, to the topic here, I hear this guy, you know, he loves the United States. He believes in capitalism. Sure, that's all good, fine, and dandy. But when your country is in pieces, this is the problem. Now you need to find out why it is in pieces. So when you construct something, you want it to be cohesive and solid. But since the founding fathers and the creation of the United States, that's what they did. Their primary goal was to create cohesion and solid and security and stability.
See, can I interrupt
and,
you for a second?
We're not there anymore.
What's your name? Can I interrupt you for a second? Tom?
Sure.
Tom, our founding fathers, I think, did the exact opposite of that. They knew the nature of men. They created a system of government with three distinct branches that compete equally for power. That, to me,
is not cohesion.
It is the opposite of cohesion, and the three branches
of government fight
like hell. Hold on, let me finish. They fight like hell for as much power as they can possibly achieve, and if the system is functioning properly, they will continue to fight. What's that?
What are those branches?
You don't know the three branches of government?
Executive and judicial.
Okay, the executive. You mean the president?
Correct.
No, legislative, executive, and judicial.
Right. Executive branch is the president. The legislative branch is Congress, and the judicial branch, Supreme Court. The three branches of government.
Right. Well, but if you construct a country that everybody agreed upon because they thought it was going to work well for them, that's what you base it on. It's when you start
Tom, chill out for a second.
Yes.
I just told you that was an accurate statement, but you went right back to it without even addressing it.
Well, it's your opinion, right?
No, it's a fact. Are there three branches of government? Yes. Do they fight amongst themselves for power? Yes. Was our republic set up that way? Yes. Now, if you can tell me why that's not true, have at it.
Yeah, well, read the last farewell speech by George Washington.
I don't have it in front of me. Why don't you tell me? The whole point of this exercise is where you deconstruct my argument and show me where I'm wrong.
I just read it again yesterday, the farewell speech. The last term of his presidency, his last speech.
Okay. Tell us, really quick, 2 minutes.
Give me the Reader's Digest version.
Okay.
Okay, then you don't know it. That's okay. That's
he goes
right.
over a lot of things.
All right. Okay, well,
it's
thanks for the
awesome.
Call.
It's pretty awesome, and that's what
we'll
I would run a country by. I would run a country by somebody who helped create the best country in the world, very intelligent and loved this country and had no agendas in any direction. All he wanted was success.
All right, what country is currently operating that's functioning that you think is better than here? Where would you like to live? Where would you live? What country?
The United States is the best.
Okay.
I've been to a lot of countries, and I can see them. I see them on the news. You see how they are. I mean, Germany's pretty good. I wouldn't say Germany's not bad. I'd say England probably isn't bad. I'd say Ireland. I'd say Western countries are primarily run similar, so they're all pretty well. And although people have a different idea of what they want for the Western worlds in the future, that's what they're trying to destroy.
Okay. So what's your point here? What do you want to teach us today?
Oh, that we need to return to the original United States. Everything.
Okay.
Before 1865, before the tyranny
okay.
and the vote taken away from the citizen.
Gotcha. All right.
I agree with that.
That was tyranny. We are now living in a tyrannous state. We are not the original United States. The vote was taken away from the citizens. We are no longer that. We are now a tyrannous country until we return and fix that. Right now we live in basically, anarchy. The big business are anarchists. They don't have the laws that citizens have. They have more power. They're able to do things to allow themselves to have more people to choose
from. What
kind
of work do you do? What kind of work do you do?
Illegal immigration to the highest degree.
No, really? No. I'm serious, Tom. What kind of work do you do? How do you make a living? How do you put food on the table for your family or yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've had
Your trade?
Multiple businesses. Construction.
All right. So you do construction. Are you a employee or employer?
Employer.
Okay. All right. So you're an employer. So you're the man. According to the people that are working underneath you, you're the man. You're the boss. You're the oppressor.
Well,
based on how you view the United States. So you're
for those wages, you're not an oppressor. As long as those wages
are
give somebody the ability to live a quality life and somebody agrees to it, that's not oppression. They can go out and
but you can only pay them what you can pay them. You can't pay them as much as they think they're worth, because you need to have profits.
Yeah,
you need to be able to make your payroll. You've got expenses. Hell, the cost of plywood just went up five times. You can't even build a house for what you could 6 months ago. You probably had to let a few people go too. I'll bet.
Yeah, I was.
Did you have to let any of your employees go?
Up until I was 27, I was an employee.
Hey, Tom, hold on. Did you have to let in your employees go when the price of lumber went up five times in the last 6 months to 8 months?
Well, work
did your
slowed down. So, yeah,
okay.
You're right. It does happen.
All right,
it
and your employees are going to blame you for firing them because they're not going to see the bigger picture. You live in the bigger picture. Our government is an even bigger picture. You're a microcosm of the government, and yet you hate the government. You're like an anarchist who's an employer over the proletariat.
Oh, no, I don't hate the government. I hate tyranny.
You're the oppressor class. You don't get it.
Oh, no, I'm not. No. Anybody has the same ability to have their own company. They can start their own and be a competitor.
Ah. Are you saying that America is the land of the opportunity? The land of opportunity is what you're saying.
Sure.
Yeah. You see?
Then why do you hate corporations? You are a corporation.
No, I don't hate corporations.
You just said you hated
that
corporations.
Occurred. I hate the
you
fact
just
that
said
tyranny
you
occurred.
Hated corporations not 10 minutes ago.
No, I didn't say I hated them. I said tyranny allowed big business to have, in a sense, be an anarchist to our laws. They actually hire lobbyists and create bills such as the H-1B visa.
Great.
So
in the views of your Tom, in the views of your employees, you are the big businessman. You're the owner. You own all the equipment. You handle the wages. You handle everything. You control their life. You are what you hate.
Seriously. I don't hate anything, man. I don't
you just
hate
said
anything.
You did. You said corporations are evil.
I don't like. Do you like tyranny? So you're a tyrannist. If you like tyranny,
I'm telling
you, saying
I don't like tyranny.
I think you are what
I don't
you
like,
hate.
I don't like the vote
you
being taken away from the citizens.
You are what you hate in the views of your employees.
Yeah, I don't like the vote taken away from the citizens.
I don't know who fed you the crap that you've been eating, but it has. You're not seeing the world properly, and as an employer, I am dumbfounded how you can't see how your employees see that you have no self-awareness.
Dude, you're not even on the right platform here. I don't know what you're talking about. You're like
I own my own business. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, very good. So you're talking about yourself then, what you're saying. Right
no,
now.
I'm talking about you because you own your own business and you have the same challenges to run your construction company as I
do
my business.
But you said you are a business owner.
Yeah, you did too.
I think there's a misunderstanding on both parts, so I think we're just gonna we're gonna end it because I think it's just a misunderstanding. I understand where Tom's coming from, and I understand where Al's coming from, but I overall the in light of what's happening today, the Marxists have painted you, Tom, as a business owner being evil, and that's I think that's the overall point of it. You know, how dare you in America today start your own business, have your own business, and keep your people down? And that's what the that's what the Marxist movement is trying to portray
all,
in America.
All this, believe it or, but all this, believe it or not, stems from the 14th Amendment and the tyranny.
Understand.
You may not think so, but if you think about it, it is. It's what allowed the breakdown of the United States.
Well, you said the proper, you just said the right thing, 1865, and that was a defining moment. That did change. 1913 was when Woodrow Wilson put, you know, dropped the hammer on what was started in 1865. So I have to agree with you on that part. So we're gonna move on. So any other comments, any other questions?
Okay, guys. You guys have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks
all
for
right.
calling in.
Thanks
Appreciate
for calling.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I understand where he was going, but we're not going down that route today.
It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear that Communist Cackles Harris had her meeting with the Texas seditious lawmakers in Washington, D.C., and Cackles went to Walter Reed Hospital yesterday for a checkup? And
I did.
You know, Cackles is vaccinated. The meeting was conducted maskless, and Cackles spokesman stated that Cackles had not been in close contact with infected lawmakers. And then, that was yesterday, July 16th, a photo comes out of that day of Cackles Harris's meeting with the seditious lawmakers, and they don't appear to all be 6 feet apart. They're all sitting pretty in close proximity, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, she didn't come in close proximity of the seditious lawmakers, and now she has to go to Walter Reed Hospital? First of all, she's been vaccinated, and she wasn't wearing a mask, and neither were the seditious lawmakers. Now five have come down with the Chinese virus. And of course, this administration is throwing a diversion again.
Well, keep in mind too that the members who tested positive, this Democrat caucus who ran from their state, they five of them tested positive. All have been fully vaccinated prior to this, which helps protect against severe illness. Now, all the lawmakers are showing no symptoms or only mild symptoms. Point is, they were fully vaccinated and they contracted COVID and they were all on a chartered flight with no masks.
With no masks. That's correct.
So what's the point of getting the vaccine if you can still get the virus?
Well,
yeah,
you know,
the roosters are crowing. They don't get it.
That exactly. And you see, this is what I'm not getting myself here. Okay. So this is the mixed message from the entire charade that's being put on. So on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, I'm reading Bigfoot's Place.blogspot.com. Great blogspot, by the way. www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great stories from around the world. There's a story on Saturday. It's from the Free West Media. Excuse me, it was on Sunday. It says, in Europe, the coronavirus surges in countries with the most vaccinations. And read through the story. And what is really interesting about this story is that actually the people that fare the best against the Chinese virus are those people who have contracted the Chinese virus and have developed antibodies. 1% of those people are hardly affected at all by the Chinese virus and their variant. So those people that have been testing positive, 54% of the people testing positive have had a vaccination. And then 45% of the unvaccinated contribute to the growing. So this whole thing is we're being lied to. I really do believe we're being lied to. This cabal, this worldwide global cabal, is insane. There are places that have upwards 85, 90%, 100% vaccination rates. They are experiencing an uptick, a surge in those contracting the Chinese virus. And I'm talking about places that have high vaccination rates. Let me see. What was it? I can't read it. High vaccination states would be, I can't read it. Malta, United Kingdom, the Netherlands. There's another place that has nearly 100% vaccinated people, and they're experiencing a surge in the Chinese virus. Now, they're blaming it on the Delta variant now. Okay, and that's pretty convenient, okay, because that's what the new, you know, rages with the left wing in order to justify, you know, shutting down economies once again. But I really found it interesting. Go to www.bigfootsplace.com. There's an article. It is in the Free West Media, and it's titled Surges of COVID-19 in Most Vaccinated EU Countries. And apparently, if you get the Chinese virus vaccine, you're more susceptible to get the Chinese virus and to spread the Chinese virus, believe it or not. Those that aren't spreading it are those that have developed an immunity after contracting the Chinese virus. It's incredible. Why isn't this put out there? Oh, but then you've got, you know, Dementia Joe with his campaign against those people that are not vaccinated. Okay, that's the new unvaccinated. But they're not talking about the five active flying JetBlue pilots who have died in the last 2 to 3 months. Five. All five were based at a Logan airport. Five Delta airline pilots are dead. With three British Airways pilots are dead. Pilots are contracting blood clots after getting the Chinese virus. But of course, all that, let's just sweep that aside. So I read an article by Eric Erickson, who was calling out the DNC news media, DNC CNN, DNC MSNBC, how they're blaming Tucker Carlson and Fox News for people not getting vaccinated. And it's comical, Al, how dishonest the DNC media truly is, following the snake oil salesman dictator Joe Biden, his regime, with their new talking points. You know, they're killing people. And let's not forget, it was the Democrat Communist Party led by Czar Joe Biden and petulant Nancy Pelosi who attempted to derail then President Trump and his attempt to combat the Chinese virus as it first was first manifesting in America, shutting down travel to and from China as the China virus was released the virus to the West. It was bumbling Biden who called President Trump a racist and a xenophobe. Okay, so and if you don't believe me, here the first point of the Biden plan to combat coronavirus declares acts of racism and xenophobia against Asian American and Pacific Islander communities must not be tolerated. That was Dementia Joe back in March of 2020. Okay, but then President Trump took further action to protect America and Americans and ceased travel to and from Europe as the Chinese virus was spreading faster than the California wildfire. The theatrics from the Democrat Communist Party was pathetic as they sought to undermine President Trump with Nancy Pelosi staging her sick San Francisco Chinatown visit. It was to imply that Americans were blaming the Chinese people for the virus. It was safe to go to Chinatown. This is how dishonest the Democrat Party is in their attempt to demean President Trump. It was never about the Chinese people, and they knew that. It was about the Chinese government intentionally releasing a contagious virus on the world and not about the Chinese people living in America. See, but this is the identity politics of Marxists. Now, thank God President Trump was at the helm at the time because at least 1 million more Americans could have died as the Imperial College forecasted had Dementia Joe been in the White House. And thank God President Trump was at the helm to put in place Operation Warp Speed to challenge Private Farmer to come up with a vaccine, which at the time the Democrat Communist Party rejected. Remember, they were in that
resistance mode. You know, yet today, the Democrat Communist Party, led by Tsar Biden, are now exploiting and guilting Americans into taking the vaccine. If you don't take the vaccine, you're guilty of getting people sick and possibly killing your neighbor or killing your relatives. The shameless propaganda of Tsar Biden and the Democrat Communist Party in America. You don't take the vaccine, you're guilty. Yet when facts are emerging in countries and locations where vaccines are at the highest being administered, there has been a rise in Chinese virus cases. It's not rising because of unvaccinated people. It's rising in locations where there's even 100% vaccinations, which means that vaccinated people are contracting the Chinese virus and its variants. And the shameless propaganda from Tsar Biden and his regime into blaming unvaccinated people for not getting vaccinated and spreading the Chinese virus is false. It's a flat-out lie. But we would expect nothing else from Bird Brain Biden. He's been a liar and a plagiarizer his entire political life. I like the following summary from Eric Erickson. First, we were told not only to buy masks so its first responders, we were told not only not to buy masks so first responders could buy them, but also that masks would not protect the general public from the virus. Then we were told to get masks. Then we were all lectured about following the science. Then the science showed that kids really weren't a vector, but we shut down schools anyway. Then we were told being outside in the sunshine was the best disinfectant. But the media shamed people at the beach while not shaming people at protests unless the protests were to open back up businesses. Then local governments insisted that while following the science, masks needed to be worn outside, even if you were alone. Oh, my God, you even see it today. You see it today. I was watching a guy at a putting green. He's the only one at the putting green, and he's got a mask going up almost to his eyes. It's like, dude, you're out in the open. You're out in the putting green. There's nobody within 150 feet from you. You're wearing a fucking mask. Then local government insisted, while following the science, masks need to be worn outside when you're alone. Then the British variant was going to kill us. Then the South African variant was going to kill us. Then the Brazilian variant was going to kill us. Then the Indian variant was going to kill us. Then it was racist to call the variants by their nations of origin. So the Delta variant was going to kill us. Then COVID may have come from a lab after the very same. And it just kept going on and on and on. And you don't know what to believe anymore. But as long as government had control, that's all that mattered. The government and the world governmental oversight bodies are trying to scare people, intentionally scaring people. And do you really trust the World Health Organization? Do you trust Bill Gates or Dr. Anthony Fauci? One contradiction after another these past 18 months. When President Trump attempted to be proactive in combating the Chinese virus, he was yet again met with resistance. This was and still is the Democrat Communist Party objective. It was to resist President Trump at every turn, including with the help of the American people. The American people were simply collateral damage by the swamp in Washington, D.C. The swamp is both sides of the aisle. Is the Chinese virus real? Yes, it is. However, there is an overall 99.4% survival rate. 89% survival rate if you're over the age of 80, except if you're in an Andrew Cuomo New York nursing home. Something is wrong with what we're being sold. Remember, it was candidate Joe Biden who was elevated and anointed the heir apparent Democrat Communist Party candidate who scolded then President Trump for shutting down travel to and from China. It was China who never stopped their citizens from traveling internationally, including to major international cities such as Milan, Italy. And we saw the massive outbreak of the Chinese virus in Italy. The Chinese virus has a 99.3% survival rate in America, yet we shut down our country. And now they're talking about possibly doing it a second time? Then when the President of the United States put up the creation of a vaccine and implementation on fast track, it was resisted by the very party, the Democrat Communist Party, who is now seeking to implement draconian Gestapo tactics. What was it with Rahm Emanuel said it, never let a crisis go by. Take advantage of a crisis. Eroding Americans' freedoms and liberties is the Democrat Party way. True fascists and communists are implementing government controls our founding fathers fought against 240 years ago in order to establish individual freedoms and liberties, the United States of America. The Democrat Communist Party, who seeks to protect women's rights for abortion because it's their body, yet has no problem telling you what you must put into your body. Now, the propaganda machine of the Biden regime is to lay guilt and blame on each and every American who rejects the Chinese virus vaccine. It's now the unvaccinated who are at fault. Yet facts are showing the surge in contraction is with those who are vaccinated. Who was to blame in March and April of 2020 at the onset of the Chinese virus outbreak? Oh, well, that was Trump's fault, Vito. No, it was the Chinese government who spread the virus. Not the World Health Organization for being asleep at the wheel and causing this worldwide outbreak. Now it's the same world body who, along with America's Democrat Party, engaged in a shameless propaganda campaign. Blame the unvaccinated. And along the way in America, you have a government and their cohorts, such as social media platforms, silencing speech, but it's okay because it's all in the name of a worldwide pandemic. Al, I'm not buying what this administration is saying, and I find it extremely offensive that the President of the United States, the one that was installed as president, okay, bumbling Joe Biden, is now blaming the unvaccinated for the rise and the surge in the Chinese virus. And now they're going to come to our door? They're going to come to our door, and they're going to, it's not a government official, as Baghdad Bob Jensaki says. It could be your priest, it could be your pastor. It's volunteers. Really? It's volunteers with one objective.
President Biden, he leveled the extraordinary charge against Facebook and other social media platforms last Friday, what you were talking about, claiming that they are killing people by allowing coronavirus misinformation to spread without naming who are the arbiters of truth, information, fact, and fiction. Now, quote, they're killing people, I mean it. Really? Look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated, and they're killing people, President Joe Biden told reporters, echoing comments made by CDC Director Rochelle Walensky earlier on Friday when all this went down. And then during a briefing by the White House coronavirus response team, Walensky reported a 36% increase in hospitalizations, 26% increase in deaths due to the COVID-19 in the past week. We're seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk and communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well. What you said, and I agree with, is a total lie. So why are they lying? Why is this full court press of calling unvaccinated people murderers and scaring people is because the numbers, the vaccination numbers, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, because the President Biden, his vaccination numbers that he wanted, that he touted that he was going to get, are not happening. In fact, 40% of the country hasn't even been vaccinated. And his goal was, 75% at a minimum?
Yeah,
people
he was blowing.
People are rising up.
Yeah, I mean, he was blowing
anything
smoke.
Anything short of that is failure.
Look, this guy just says anything, you know, just like the $400,000. Oh, if you make less than $400,000, you're not going to be taxed. It's all horse crap with this guy. This guy knows that he works in sound bites.
You know, he's done that his entire political life. He just throws stuff out there and sees what sticks. And now he looks like a buffoon because the American people are onto this whole thing. And besides that, if you've contracted the Chinese virus, you've built up immunities. You know, you've built up some resistance. And now facts are showing that 1% of those that were infected with the Chinese virus who built antibodies will not get any variant of the Chinese virus.
Yeah.
If there, indeed there is an issue with a variant, like Eric, I'm not a big fan of Eric Erickson, but I do read his stuff, and you know, here he says that I just lost my train of thought. I apologize. You know, Eric Erickson is talking about how the Chinese virus is now an issue with the world bodies. I mean, we've got this whole freaking, was insulting. It was inflammatory, and the rhetoric that comes out of dictator Biden's mouth is ridiculous. The man is a buffoon, but he's insulted the American people, and to sit here and lay blame on the unvaccinated people is incredible. It's incredible. It's unconscious. It's absolutely shameless what this party, what this system is doing in America today. It really is. It's absolutely shameless. There is nothing American about these people that are in government today. There are very few in government today that can say that they are pro-American. I'm so sick of these people. And Biden is such a phony. He's absolutely a phony.
Well, here's an example of how these lies, even among conservatives, take hold. And it's only natural when you hear something enough, you're going to believe it, or you're going to think you believe it, even though in your heart you may not. About every month or two, a group of conservatives, we all get together at somebody's house to have dinner. And it's three conservative professors, retired chemists, it's about five or six of us. And I missed that dinner, but I talked to a buddy who went, and he was telling me that all of a sudden the vaccinations came up. And it ends up everybody there had been vaccinated kind of because of for work or whatever reasons they were all vaccinated except for my friend. And my friend said, oh, I haven't been vaccinated. And the host for the dinner, they're in their 80s, and she said, I feel unsafe. Now, she didn't mean it. She said it. She fought under her breath, but she's older and has no filter, and she was telling her husband who can't hear, and it was loud. My friend heard. And these are conservatives, veto conservatives. She said she felt unsafe because one of the people at the dinner were not vaccinated. So this attack on the unvaccinated, even though we know that it's a lie, gotten into the subconscious of people because of the fear. And these are conservatives.
Right.
These aren't liberals. These are our people, my friends. And when he told me that story, I was flabbergasted. Because I think most people think like we do when we're talking about this. We're on the same page. We look at the propaganda, we analyze it, and then we destroy it if it doesn't make sense. And this unvaccinated, vaccinated is a great example of that. You tore it down, you identified the problem, you deconstructed it, and now people know, if they were listening, that the unvaccinated are becoming a targeted group, and it's a lie.
But that lie
is sinking flat out, bold-faced, evil lie, because when the President of the United States tells the population that there is a segment of the population, which is roughly 40% of the American people, that this segmented population is killing people, and that could be family members, community members, friends, whatever. There's 40%, you're going to run into unvaccinated people all day long. And the minute they say it in the back of your mind, you're thinking, wow, the president said that they're killing people. I don't know if it's true or not, but he wouldn't have said it if there wasn't smoke, there's fire. And the evil of that blows my mind.
Hey, we have another caller. You want to take it?
Sure. Put them on.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for holding.
Hey,
sorry to keep you. Hey, Paul Sutler.
I live in Ripland, New York.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to plug Paul Sutler. He's got a show right here on Global Patriot Radio on Thursdays. But even better than that, he is the author of a new book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can go to Amazon.com and you can purchase that book. And I encourage you to do so. Good evening, Paul.
Hi. I live in Libland, New York, where college kids are no longer allowed to go to college unless they get a vaccination. And here, and if you're following the stats and you're talking, you mentioned the Delta variant. In the UK, the ones who were being attacked by the Delta variant were the vaccinated.
Yes.
So
yes.
The stats are actually proving that the more susceptible people to the Delta variant is the vaccinated. So that's an interesting stat that no one's talking about. But
I haven't.
We
heard
are
that.
Doing protests. Yeah, we are doing protests across the state. They're just groups of patriots that show up at local colleges where their children are not allowed to go unless they get the gene therapy. I'm telling people no longer. No one should be using the term vaccination. We should be asking people if they have had a gene therapy. Whenever somebody asks if you've been vaccinated, say, I refuse gene therapy. Wouldn't you? And watch these people. They'll say, I don't want any gene therapy. I don't want my DNA changed. Okay. But you've been vaccinated, you idiot.
You know, that's funny. Hey, Paul.
There's no vaccination. There are no vaccinations for this. That's the thing. If you go to Pfizer site or Moderna site, they call it gene therapy.
It's funny you say that because I don't know if you know if you've seen the periodical. It's an internet magazine that comes out. It's the Corona World Daily, and I get it every day. And I read some of the stories. Sometimes I just don't even. But it's funny that you say that because one of the talking points 1 week with the Corona World virus was that was a falsehood, that it does not alter the DNA or your genes. I swear to God, that was in
I read that. I read that too. I read their argument there, but that doesn't answer the question of why they call it gene therapy.
Exactly.
If the companies are calling it gene therapy, I mean,
right.
They do not call it a vaccination. I don't think legally they can. The only ones calling it a vaccination are the feds and the people pushing it. It's important to understand you're getting a gene therapy. I mean, when you start asking people, when they ask you if you've had a vaccination, you just say, I refuse gene therapy, wouldn't you? And you watch the people look funny at you like, what do you mean refuse gene therapy? I don't want gene therapy. You're going to hear all the vaccinated say that. Start asking them. You know, stop using the term vaccination. Start using gene therapy. I'm trying to get people to do that because they've been controlling the language. It's time for us to put it back on them.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. I really do.
I have one more thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. I live in an apartment building, and one of the people in this building has been seriously paralyzed thanks to the gene therapy.
Ooh.
So this is happening. I actually am connecting with people in Connecticut who are doing these type of protests, and one of them was doing a live interview, and she's sending these to me because I'm going to put them on my show pretty soon. And one of the people she interviewed has been suffering. She might be 19 or 20. She's a new student for one of the local colleges in Connecticut. And she got the gene therapy, and she's been having serious heart problems since then. This is the stuff, you know, they're talking, it's something, what they're telling doctors who are asking questions, non-medical, I'm sorry, even, you know, they're telling other people, the people who give out this gene therapy are saying, well, it's normal for vaccinations to cause heart problems in people. That's not normal. It's not normal. But that's actually what they're telling people. It's misinformation being given out to support a gene therapy. I don't know why. I've been talking with so many people on this thing. I'm not allowed to go see my dad still because I refuse to be tested. I refuse to have a jab.
And really?
I think the testing is totally, its whole purpose is tracking. That's my honest opinion. I have lots of questions about what else is in the jab because there's, I get sent a lot of stuff. Some of it's just conspiracy and trying to sort through and find out what's truthful is not always easy. So,
well, it's funny because if you watch a commercial on TV, and I'm going to give Belly, a big fast off Thunderbelly credit for this one, when Big Pharma advertises on TV and, I don't know, you get XYZ drug, it tells you, you know, in that 30-second commercial really fast that the side effects may be runny nose, bloody nose, big eyes, bulging disc. You know, they give you 1,500 different side effects from the medications advertised on TV, and yet we've had nothing with regard to the side effects of the gene therapy. None. Zero.
There's an actual court case right now that is in play where the manufacturers are being sued for not giving what is called informed consent. And there are lawsuits now in I don't know how many states for that reason. So I hope that could be massive. It could kill Pfizer. It could kill Moderna. And because this has nothing to do with it being a vaccine, can't sue for a vaccine. These people, they're saying they can't be sued because they have developed a vaccine. Yet according to their own information on their own site, they haven't developed a vaccine. They've developed a gene therapy. So they can be sued. If you go by their sites, the information on their sites, they haven't developed a vaccine.
Interesting.
So I think we need to start, people need to start looking at that. This is big. My personal thought is this is one of Trump's worst things that he did. I like Trump. I'm for policies. Mm-hmm. All right? I don't care who the person is. I want to look at their policies. But his germophobia led to this dangerous development of a planned. This is like Dr. McCullough. I don't know if you've seen the tape with him on Vlad Tepe's blog, but I'll tell you the stuff that Dr. McCullough said. He now believes this whole the pandemic was to roll out he said it's all about the vaccinations, which I'm calling gene therapy, well, using their terms. He thinks it's all about that. I'm at the point where I agree with this. I'm not allowed to visit my father, who I love very much. I can call him on the phone when he remembers how to answer it. But that's we have to stop using the term vaccination. Everybody listening, stop using that term. Throw it back as gene therapy. When people ask you if you've been vaccinated, instead of saying yes or no, just say, I refuse gene therapy, wouldn't you? And watch the expressions on their faces because they have no idea that they've had a gene therapy.
I'm going to have to use that with my doctor. Yeah, he was of the opinion that...
When you get asked to go into a medical place, have you had that? You know, like, of course, you know. They don't ask that here, but they won't let... I mean, if you are in Midland, New York, those people who are not vaccinated when you go to certain places, they're required to wear masks. I mean, but they can't ask you legally. But in your work environment, if they know, they demand that you wear this mask. So right now there are two classes of citizens in New York State, those who have gene therapy and those who have refused gene therapy. And I think those who have refused have more intelligence. that's my biggest answer to that. Don't you want to know what they're going to put in your body? I mean, understand when something's been tested and tried, that then we call it a vaccination. But when it's killed thousands of people, thousands, or talk, I believe the last count I saw was like 40,000 or something like that. I mean, it's a huge, huge number.
Yes, and it's not being broadcast.
And get it.
It's being suppressed, And now the airline industry is starting to suppress the information about pilots who are dying, including a Canadian pilot who was dead on the runway in a cargo plane. So thank God that he wasn't flying at the time he passed. I mean, and we're talking about, you know, the significance of the pilot side of it is that pilots have to go through a physical test on a regular basis. And if they have cancer, there's a 2-year moratorium on them flying. So to blame a pilot for dying from cancer is a bit of a stretch, because that pilot would have been grounded. But if the pilot is actively flying and dies, it's not going to be from complications from post cancer. It's an interesting scenario that we're facing, that even the airline industry now is starting to suppress the numbers of pilots who are dying and or being grounded from blood clots, as a matter of fact.
You know what bothers me?
The thing that bothers me the most when I look at the VAERS data is, of course, anybody can download the VAERS data. My suggestion is select those who died. And then you can go to, when you sort it, you can also select how it's presented in order. And I presented it in order of youngest to oldest. That will horrify you, because there are several people before the age of one who have died from receiving their mother's milk. And even those who have been, you know, pregnant, the women have lost babies, that's also presented in there. But they're not, I guess this is where the informed consent thing is. We have 1% reported in VAERS. That's what they're saying. It's 1% reported in VAERS. And if that's 1%, I have some serious, serious concerns, and they're not informing pregnant women. In fact, they just had some idiot go on, a former American Medical Association doctor, go on national TV and tell people it's safe for pregnant women to get shot. You know, if you want your baby aborted, maybe, but no. Killed, I should say. Not
you know,
aborted, but,
that's
yeah.
crazy. You know what makes me upset? Is that doctors are not prescribing therapeutics at all. In fact, I talked to a young girl, my
yes.
father-in-law, at his 99th birthday. We threw a little catered party for him, and one of the girls there was wearing her mask, who was serving us, was wearing her mask, and when we were done and cleaning up, I said, you can take your mask off. It's okay. And she goes, oh, well, I just got over the COVID last month. And I said, I got a question. I said, did the doctors just give you a Tylenol and tell you to go home? And she looked at me, and she said, yeah. I said, that's it?
That's what they
didn't offer anything? She said, no, Tylenol, go home. And I had two other friends that the same thing happened to. And when you've got these therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, is hydroxychloroquine a cure-all? No, but it's helpful. Ivermectin, is it a cure-all? No, but it's helpful. And the other therapeutics, how many people have died because the doctors were not prescribing the therapeutics because the federal government told them that they couldn't, violating the Hippocratic Oath?
There are doctors who have gone on record talking about how I believe it's Dr. Bostrom, Andrew Bostrom. He was talking about Dr. Andrew Bostrom. He had given his entire family the hydrochloroquine, zinc, and everyone except for one of his children who was there and married were taking this. Now, and his one son who refused, and his that child's wife, refused to do this, they both got COVID-19. Now, he said none of them, they never remained, they did no distance, no spacing, no fear of each other at any point. They all still ate dinner together and everything. No one got COVID-19 but those two. I mean, that is what we call a case study of why you should have the hydroxychloroquine and zinc. I mean, that's a case study and proof that you can, you might not be able to get it.
Yeah.
So,
but Paul, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Like that.
Wait a minute. The issue then becomes you would not be able to shut down the American economy. And therefore,
yes,
it would have made President Trump look a little bit more correct, and that could not happen. We had to find a way for the government to take over to usurp more of your freedoms and liberties. And so, Paul, I have to disagree. There has to be some controls by the government where the government can take control of Americans' lives. Oh, my God, Paul.
In fact,
yeah, I told my primary doctor, and I'm on United Healthcare, which probably a lot of people are. I told my doctor, I said, Doc, I need hydroxychloroquine just to have an inventory because I think I have malaria. And he goes, when you get your plane ticket to Africa, get back to me. I dropped him. I now go to another doctor. And he was dead serious. He wasn't being a dick. He was just, they can't prescribe it for some reason that I do not understand to this day.
Because AMA is total libland. And you can thank certain doctors who are just Democrats. I mean, the encouragement of things like that. I'm just mind numbed. Some of these things I see.
Yep.
My son, we never thought we'd ever see this in our lifetime. Yeah. And my son, they sent home with something they considered deadly. And my son is a medic. He's an EMT in my city. And he and his fiance both got COVID-19. They sent them home and said, you know, take a couple of aspirins if you need it and stay hydrated. That's what they were told. Mm-hmm. Within a week, both of them were back to work. So this, you know, you remember they were saying 14 days or you got to remain quarantined. No,
yeah.
Because what they were told is if you no longer have symptoms, you're done with it. And that's actually a medical advice when you think about it. When you don't have symptoms, you're done. So
hey, look at John Rahm. Makes you a better golfer, this COVID-19.
Yeah, went out and won the U.S. Open.
So they're not allowing kids to go to college because they haven't got a jab. And they're not allowing kids to go to college if they've had COVID-19 and have natural immunity.
Yeah, and it turns out
that's
the natural immunity is even
State
a better
in Connecticut.
The natural immunity is a better fending off of any other variant as well.
Yes.
Just,
and this is the stuff that is, you know, it's really upsetting when you start to think about this.
Now, have there been any legal challenges to this case at this university?
Well, this is statewide in New York State and in Connecticut.
Oh.
So that's the real issue. There's nothing that, I mean, our children, not saying mine, but I'm saying the children of New York State and other libland states like Connecticut, they have, you know, the children are going to lose their college education, their scholarships, whatever, unless they get the jab. So they are being forced.
Yeah,
I mean, even if they've had COVID-19, they're being denied the right to come.
Yeah, well, extrapolate that out to work, travel.
There you go.
Going to parties, going to public events, concerts.
The freedom to peaceably
no car,
assemble
no
is being abridged. Let's not forget that.
Yes. I'm trying to fight it. I just don't have... I mean, if I had the reach, what I'm doing, the only thing I can think to do to have right now is I'm recording events from different protests, and I'm going to be putting them up online because some of the interviews, you just sit there like, you know, mind them that, I mean, these kids are going to lose their, I mean, they could be losing the rest of their lives because they're standing on what they believe. And those are the kind of people you want to hire, people who actually, you know, stand on what they believe. And this is just sad and sick is my best way to put it, unfortunately.
Well, Paul, thank you for that update, and thanks for the schooling us on the changing of the vernacular and the term vaccine to gene therapy. Going to look into that as well, so I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you. That's Paul Sutliff. He is the author of The Cancer Civilization Jihad, and you can listen to Paul right here on Global Patriot Radio Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and he's got some great guests on there as well, so check out Paul's show.
That's an amazing story about the schools in New York. That blows my mind. What if it's where you work? Now that everybody's been working at home, all of a sudden your corporate office says, okay, no more working from home, you must come into the office. Oh, and if you haven't been vaccinated or gene therapized, have your gene therapy, you can't come to the office. You have to make a decision. What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you what you do. I think maybe you might want to consult things, because one of the things that you can consult is that you could consult a Viking to Good evening, Holger. Welcome.
It sounded like a sheep. now we're talking. That's what the Islamic Jihad doesn't like to hear.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. Just a quick call, kind of piggybacking on the discussion with Paul there. Do you know who Katie Hopkins is?
Is that Mrs. Hopkins' daughter? No, I don't.
No, she's awesome.
Katie Hopkins is that gal over in the UK that was a huge supporter of Trump, and she's very much against Islam, and they hassled her, and the Islamists in London just, like, you know, basically threatened to beat the crap out of her all the time. She's kind of a bit of a journalist and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, I don't know if you saw it or not, but she traveled for some gig down in Australia. And, of course, she flies from the UK to Australia, and, of course, Australia is, like, in major lockdown, so they made her quarantine in her hotel for 14 days. So she gets on Instagram. So apparently in Australia, when you're in quarantine in the hotel, when you order food, because, of course, you can't go out and get food, you have to order food up. The rule is that when the food comes to your door, you have to give them 30 seconds to leave before you can open the door.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
All right.
So she makes this joke on Instagram that when they bring the food and knock on the door, she's going to open the door naked without a mask on. Okay. So the people on Instagram turned her in, and the Australians deported her today. They made her leave the country.
I was going to go knock on our door.
Well, did she actually do it?
They put her on a plane and deported her ass.
Oh, my God.
Did she do it or just – wait, hold you. Did she do it or just talk about it?
No, she talked about it.
No, she didn't do it. She talked about it. So,
oh, my God.
She was deported because she was making threats to break quarantine rules.
Now, why won't they deport an Islamic jihadist? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize. I didn't mean to take you.
Well,
away
I mean
from
the point. The point being is they, you know,
right.
Australia won't deport a jihadist that comes to the country and talks about jihad. They won't deport him, but they'll deport a British woman that makes a joke on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it just. It's gone beyond. It's almost comical. It's almost comical.
Well, it's offensive as well. And I'll tell you, I and it's a great offense by Dictator Joe and his comments of blaming unvaccinated people, whether you're vaccinated or not. The fact is that to sit there and make claim that if you're not vaccinated, unvaccinated people are going to kill you, you know, that first of all, it's fear-mongering. Second of all, it's a flat-out lie. You know, and this guy's got no filters. He's nothing but a plagiarizing racist. He's been an abject failure his entire political life. And now they put this guy and elevated him to the highest office in the land. And he says constantly and chronically says offensive things. And this is offensive in itself. I mean, how irresponsible for the president of the United States, and sadly he holds that title, okay, to utter those words to make claim that if you're unvaccinated, you're going to kill people. Fuck you.
Well, I think, you know, personally, I think this was all by design. I think, you know, Joe and his merry band of incompetents up there, you know, are still smart enough to know that, you know, you're not going to get 100% of the people vaccinated. I think this was all a setup. This was all another way. You know, they laid out their little whiteboard and they said, okay, we're going to vaccinate everybody in the country. Now, who is not going to be vaccinated? Okay, it's going to be those white supremacist Trump followers.
Yep.
Okay, this is going to be a way to, you know, we got them in a little bit of box over the insurrection. Now we got to couple that with the people. These are the people that are putting everybody at risk. So I think it's all by design, a way to separate us from the rest of the herd and continue this persecution of those of us who differ in ideology from the Marxists. It's like Barack Obama, you know, engineering BLM. I mean, Barack Obama, in my view, was very much behind Ferguson. The whole uprising in Ferguson was all engineered to create this race war, this racial divide in this country. And I mean, I think the Biden administration knew full well that they would never get, you know, above 62% or 65% vaccination rates in this country, but they want to use that. You know, it's just going to be phases. It's, first of all, it's going to be ostracizing everybody that's not vaccinated. You're the cause for all these spikes and stuff. And then it's going to be, then they're going to start lowering the boom. Well, you can't have a peaceful assembly unless you're vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically just a way of absolutely silencing and quarantining the people with our ideology. So that's my two bits,
yep.
Anyway.
I agree exactly what you're saying. And we're watching our rights being abridged under the name of a pandemic. We are watching the First Amendment being absolutely eroded right before our eyes. All five components. You know, if you want to attend a religious service, you can't. So you don't have freedom of religion. You don't have the freedom to peacefully assemble. And now you've got the Biden regime who's going to undertake the task of determining what speech is considered hate speech. And look how the filters that they're implementing when it comes to social media. Oh, well, Donald Trump was bad, and it's okay for social media, Facebook and Twitter, to ban the President of the United States. And now you've got this feckless wonder, bumbling Biden, sit there, and now they're going to consult with Facebook, and they're going to tell them what's acceptable. Basically, if what they say is right, what you say is wrong, and if you give an opinion that differs from the federal government's propaganda machine, you're guilty of hate speech. You're guilty of speech that is not becoming of the United States of America. I think there was a movie called Minority Report, wasn't it, Holger, where somebody's thought in the future was enough to arrest somebody, okay? Just like, you know, just like what happened in Australia. And it's too bad because I want to knock on our door. Damn it.
Well, you know, you remember Glenn Beck was one of the first ones to really, you know, put the spotlight on the whole thing about the frog in the boiling water. You know, you put the frog in the water, and you just keep gradually increasing the temperature until to the point where the frog dies because it's like boiling. It doesn't feel it, but also it's dead. And that's what's going on. I mean, it basically we're just as all of these rights of ours are being eroded. You know, nobody's standing up. Nobody's protesting over the loss of these rights and all that kind of good stuff. No, you know, there was some pushback on some of the lockdowns and stuff, but you know, governors didn't get recalled. We didn't, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's just one thing after another. It's just this gradual. They just keep raising the temperature as they take more and more rights from us. It's just gradually increasing that temperature, and it feels a little warm, you know, but people are like, I think we're okay, and pretty soon, you know, it's just going to be over. I mean, I think it's just amazing how people have come to accept this stuff. I mean, we live in America, and people are like going, well, I can't go in there without a mask. Oh, I can't go to work unless I've been tested. Oh, well, I certainly can't get on a plane unless I've been vaccinated. You know, it's mind-boggling to me what we've come to accept and so forth. So, anyway, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for letting me call in.
Anytime, Holger. You take care.
Thanks, right, Holger. Great call.
Good to talk to you.
See you later.
Yep, you bet. Bye.
Man, I'll tell you, he's right. You talk about the slow boiling pot, you know. You put the frog in there, he's feeling fat and happy, and the government goes ahead and bribes you and conditions you, and then suddenly they just turn the heat up, and before you know what? Everything's gone. And right now, what Biden said was absolutely shameless. It was pathetic. It was fear-mongering, and you know, it was quite offensive. But you know, you've got Biden has a history of being offensive, being racist, and that's the reason why that he had to bow out, you know, in 1988 election, because he was guilty of plagiarism. The man is absolutely a fraud. And it's just sickening that somebody like that sits in the White House and in the process slowly taking away the rights, the freedoms and liberties that have been bestowed upon us. And you look at the Bill of Rights and you look how it's being usurped by this government. It's just all in the name of a pandemic. All in the name of a pandemic.
Hmm. Well, I remember when President Biden, when he had his whispering moments, when he'd whisper on the podium, and it was very awkward. Well, I remember one of his whispering moments, he said, it was about the press, and he said, the press aren't telling you everything, or something to that effect. The press don't tell you everything, or the press only tell you what I want them to tell you. And like a wink, wink kind of thing.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of truth to that, is that they are giving the press their talking points, and they're following them hook, line, and sinker to promote their cause. How do you explain all the radio silence?
You know what? I don't know how you explain all this other than the DNC is controlling the narrative. And I keep saying it. I call it the DNC media because it's exactly what's happening. I mean, we saw it happen with you know, we got the taste of it during the election, you know, when, what was it? The New York Post was censored for printing the press, one of the oldest newspapers in the United States. That should have been a telltale sign what was happening in the United States when it comes to freedom of the press and freedom of speech and how they're spiking stories. How did this government get to the point where it is now controlling speech? Forget about freedom of speech. It's great. Our founders were brilliant men, but we've got some absolute tyrants who are running our government. And how does the press not report this? You know, and it's summarily rejected on a uniform basis with maybe one or two media outlets. And of course, if you listen to Fox News, you're part of the problem. Oh, well, and you know what? Who started that vilifying of Fox News? That was Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. Now you don't get real news if you listen to Newsmax. You don't get real news if you listen to OAN. And it turns out those are the only two stations now. The Epoch Times, the only newspaper out there that is giving you news objectively. You can't pick up the fucking Washington Post or the New York Times. The Boston Globe, another rag. Okay, here they are. We're all being conditioned about the election, the recount, what's happening in Arizona, and NPR, the National Propaganda Radio. Okay, when a press conference was held, I listened to the press conference on the line, and they were talking about the irregularities in 74,000 votes. And I don't mean to distract from what we were talking about, but here we have the National Propaganda Radio, NPR. Did they mention about that press conference what was being said? No. They still were bashing Trump with regards to the election and calling election fraud. There was no improprieties in the election. And yet there was a press conference with some officials in Arizona where they found 74,000 votes of irregularities in voting. Now, that's news in that an audit is uncovering this. And the same goes with the Chinese virus. The same goes. They're not telling you everything. And yet the media is spiking the stories, and they're allowing the government to dictate what message is being sent out there. And it's contrary to our Constitution. The government has no business controlling speech and no business controlling the news. Russia does. Cuba does. Venezuela does. The theocratic republic of terrorist Iran does. But we're the United States of America. What changed? What happened?
Democrats in office, the Marxists are in the hen house.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to be said for Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers being back in society. They should have been put in the electric chair and fried back in the 70s. After they were found guilty of killing a police officer and trying to blow up a federal building. Instead, they go back to Chicago. They launch the political career of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. They write that 160-page portfolio called Prairie Fire, and it all is in a Marxist indoctrination, and they're polluting. They're polluting the minds of individuals. It's not them solely. It's the entire system that's adopted the Marxist belief system. And it's to divide America.
Sedition.
Yeah.
And they got
they're using this pandemic to further their anti-American agenda. And let's start calling it that. This is an anti-American agenda. This is an anti-constitutional agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is an anti-constitutionalist. Communist cackles Kamala Harris is an anti-constitutionalist. That's what these people are. They don't believe in our constitutional republic. When it time after time, even on Twitter, you've got Hillary Rotten Clinton, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Joe Biden, all talking about our democracy. We're a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. But this is how you divide America. This is how you condition Americans into their way of thinking. And then you make it that much easier to control speech. Well, we have to find ways, you know, to the disinformation. That's how you do it. The propaganda to condition people into saying disinformation. Whoa. Okay. Excuse me. But because I don't espouse your thought process, because you do your own investigation and you don't believe in your lies or your way of thought, suddenly my way of thinking is considered radical and is misinformation, when in fact you're the propaganda king.
Well, our grandfathers today, back in 1943, the Allied Air Forces raided Rome during World War II, the same day Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini met in Felt in northern Italy. That's what our grandparents are dealing with today.
Fighting communism.
Something.
Yeah, fighting fighting fascism, fighting fighting oppression, okay, to save our way of life, to preserve our way of life. And today, the Marxists are espousing the same fascist belief system in silencing opposition, all in the name of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, criminy. It just...
I think it's only going to get worse as the elections, the 2022 elections start coming around the corner. Then I think they're going to go for lockdowns again. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I think we're headed to.
Oh, I can see that coming again, Al. They saw how it worked in the last election, and then they blamed the suppression of voter, and they arbitrarily changed voting laws on the fly in order to accommodate the lockdown. And then they talked about there was no voter suppression, voter oppression. And then if you implement these changes, okay, suddenly you're oppressing the vote. There's not one person in the United States that doesn't have the inability to vote. Not one. If you have to show an ID to board an airplane and nobody pisses and moans about that, you certainly can go show an ID to vote in order to keep the integrity of voting. There is not one person who does not have a right to vote unless it's been revoked because of you being stupid, committing a crime. Big lie.
And you
got
to show ID to get your ID to get your government cheese, and everybody can do that with no problem.
I had to show a freaking ID in order for employment. I had to show an ID and fill out an I-9. You tell me that. I was like, wait a minute. It's not like I'm going to vote.
And Helen, 51 of those representatives left Texas to avoid having to vote on voter rights, and then they contract virus. That is just horrible.
I hope they
get arrested, and they should lose their seats, and they should have regional elections, because if someone's going to abandon their publicly elected office, and they don't deserve to hold that office.
No, they don't. Absolutely correct in that. Hey, tomorrow night we've got Radio Free Kafiristan with Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday we got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, and of course you all heard Paul earlier in his call. Thanks for the call, Paul. And he also the author of The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. Friday, Andrew Harrod, Islam in Focus. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And Sunday, Eric Kafiristan's back with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Check out other shows on Blog Talk Radio, including our own Annie with Southern Sense Talk Radio. Prayers to you, Annie. She's on Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. You got Chief. He's responsible for the veto intro, man. What a great intro. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. That would be 6 p.m. Eastern Time for those people who don't know how to add 3 hours. And Wednesday, we've got Simone Nicole Show. If you want a break from politics, you want a great self-help show, go to Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, and listen to Joshua, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, great self-help, learn how to eat, exercise, have you exercised today? Check us out on, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter, Hash Brown G Patriot Radio, and Hash Brown Mama Mia No Sharia. Al?
Adios, amigos. See you next Monday.
Hey, I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. He puts a lot of effort into it every day. Every day. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. Ducky Northwest. Nice to see you, Ducky. Our big, fat, soft underbelly. Good day, mate. Paul Sutliff. He's on Thursdays right here on Global Patriot Radio. And Fridays, you got Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Prayers to you, Annie. Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. Thank you for tweeting out our show tonight. If you're on Twitter, check out Sue from New Mexico. Great follower, great articles. And, of course, we had Holger call in. And thanks to the two gentlemen who called in earlier. We appreciate the phone calls. You all be safe out there. Thank you for listening. And God bless our troops and God bless America. Ciao, everybody.
Yes, it was my way.
That's all, folks.
One.
Well
hey.
Done. Hey.
A little bit off on that one.
3 seconds, but who's counting?
I was.
Why are these Rothschild people, why do they keep calling? I don't get it.
Well, I think what happens is I think people are seeing the globalization of the world and of America, and the people that are behind, you know, this effort to globalize America, globalize the world. And I keep seeing it too, the people's names that are dropped. It's the same ones. It's George Soros. It's Bill Gates. It's the Rothschilds. And I think that, you know, the global cabal is what they're really concerned about and why we've lost our republic. I mean, the one thing that I'm really upset with is how our republic has been disassembled. And I really do feel, and I don't know who is behind it. I don't know if it was the Rothschilds. You know, we do know now that there's tracings of George Soros dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into, you know, getting Obama and getting, you know, Hillary Clinton elected. Bloomberg did the same thing. You know, many Mike Bloomberg is to blame for the 2018 midterm elections, and now we know why, because he admitted that he dumped $60 million into getting Nancy Pelosi the majority. Mm-hmm. So you see this, what happened in 2016, these globalists don't want to ever happen again, because it was supposed to be Hillary Rodham Clinton, heir apparent, but I don't know who was behind it other than George Soros and mini Mike Bloomberg and Bill Gates. And so why? I mean, why is our republic so hated? Why is it that the last true republic is standing with all of the liberties and freedoms that we have? Why do they hate America so much that they have to tear down our walls, tear down our communities? And they want people just to walk in, and with Biden it's perfectly okay. I don't know.
Marxism. So, that's what it is. It's Marxism.
And it's
for
control.
Me, it's not a mystery.
It's power.
It's the Russians have always wanted to weaken America. That's what the whole Cold War was all about. And totalitarians want to take down the United States of America because they think they're right. The communists think they're right. The Marxists think they're right. The Islamists think they're right. So it's all a big competition, and we're the big bad gorilla on the block that needs to be taken down a few pops, and everybody's got their reason to want to bring down the government.
Yeah, and I only see two parallels.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I see a parallel between Islam and the Marxists. The only parallel between those two is they both despise our constitutional republic. And with Islam, it's a domination and supremacy thing. We know that. We've read their book. We read their book. We listen to their diatribe. We listen to, you know, Omar Ahmad, Islam's only in America not to be equal but to become dominant. It was the same in 1928 with Hassan al-Banna. It was to dominate the world. And it was the same in 623 AD when Muhammad came to fruition. It was called domination. And what they see with America is the ability to dominate. That's why Hamas care gives you all that propaganda and never never mentions anything else. Doesn't control their own Islamic Islamists who are committing Islamic terrorism. They're always the victim, and they have the same thing in common with the Democrat Party, the Marxist Party, and that is that they both despise our constitutional republic. I don't think they're run by the same organizations, the same people at the top. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, but.
No, well stated.
You know, one other thing, I think that we were vindicated once again, okay? We were today. I'm listening to Newsmax in an interview, and it was an interview with an elected official, and somebody called me a liar. And they told me that Biden's comments, okay, that we're unvaccinated people are killing people, and he said that, and today I heard it in the interview, okay, they played the clip, and of course I had the article from Yahoo, of all places, yahoo.com is where I saw the article, and as a matter of fact, it was on Friday on bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, I read the article, so I had the article. The other part in that same interview, okay, that I saw, it was the Biden administration and illegal immigrants coming into the United States. The Biden administration is not testing the illegal aliens, and there are infected illegal aliens with the Chinese virus who are being dispersed around the United States of America in all cities, because every city in America under the Biden mentality is a border city. So that means the outbreak that we're seeing could directly be contributed to the feckless illegal immigration or the immigration policy, lack thereof, of the Biden-Harris regime. And we were vindicated on that because an elected official in Congress mentioned that very thing today. You know, it's about damn time that it's being exposed, because the illegal aliens coming across the border are not being tested. Because the government, the border doesn't have the ability to test them. These people who are infected coming across without any masks, while we're being mask mandated, and they're being sent around to all ports of call in the United States. And guess what? We're seeing a rise. And now they're blaming unvaccinated people to distract from the feckless lack of policy by this Biden-Harris administration. And I didn't mention it because I heard the congresswoman talking about it today. I thought, son of a gun, huh? Son of a gun.
Scary stuff. Put all those little data points together, and we're getting our ass kicked.
Yeah, big time. Big time. And we're being conditioned. That's the sad part of it, Al. I mean, you used the word conditioning a couple of weeks ago, and that is so true. We are being conditioned by these people.
Yep. Yep. And the vaccinated, unvaccinated is just a symptom of a bigger problem.
Oh, my God. I'm feeling that.
I'm feeling it. It's making me uncomfortable. People are making me uncomfortable with it because they're becoming bolder. They're not afraid to speak their mind. If you're unvaccinated, you're the bad guy.
Well, the fact that you have friends at a dinner who are conservatives, who are also under the conditioning part of it, who are sitting there, you know, going after you that, you're not vaccinated, and suddenly you're the bad guy?
Yeah, I cannot believe when my friend told me that story, and I was so happy I wasn't there.
Oh, my God. Me too.
I had a late tea time on Friday, and I couldn't make the dinner. And hearing how it went, I'm thrilled I didn't go.
No offense, but I have to agree with that, knowing you.
No. I'm not going to be rude at somebody's house for a guest.
Well, yeah, but Al, you have a way of pissing people off, and it's really simple. You ask a question, and it's not like you're being vicious about it. You just ask the question, and you ask pertinent questions, and you ask legitimate questions, and it's like you end up being the bad guy because they get pissed. They don't know how to answer your question.
I don't know. That's what we've been doing on this show for 10 years, asking the right questions.
Yes,
You know, and it's funny. We ask the questions, and then, you watch these news shows, and it's like – and you go around, whether it's Fox, Newsmax, even on one day, I don't know, I think I dared to go – I know what it was. I was watching CNBC, and they had an analyst on there, and it was like, wait a minute. It's exactly what we said. And it's coming from one of these, leftist shows. And it's like, son of a gun. We're not that far off.
No, we're ahead of the curve by a couple of miles, but we'll see. Hopefully, what's interesting though, is the radio silence on the Arizona, Georgia, and Michigan recounts.
Yes.
Now, I see red meat articles that pop up on my emails, and I don't know, I just kind of, I don't know if I believe them 100% because it's too much red meat, but something's going on, but I can't believe that nobody's picking these stories up.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I follow Call Me Mom on Twitter, and she posted a really good video that I retweeted out today, and I didn't have time to upload the video, but I think I'll do it for next week. And this the gentleman's giving an interview to an attorney, and he asked some pointed questions just give it to me straight, no hyperbole, no spin, what's happening with the recount. And the guy just listed some things without any, not any bias, no allegiance to Trump, no allegiance to the Democrat Party. And he gave an overview. And it was really good. It was good to hear somebody actually give a straight answer. I did retweet it. I'll try to retweet it again, but I'll try to upload the video, the audio for next week. And maybe we can listen to it.
Yeah, do that.
Because it's just – you're getting so many, slanted opinions, but really what is happening? And, that's what we really need to know.
Do it. That's a great idea. I'd like to hear that.
I'll get it. I'll put it up there. And I'll send it to you, too. I'll send you the link when I upload it. I'll send it to you so you can listen to it. I listened to it a couple of times today, and I just couldn't – I got sidetracked that I couldn't get it uploaded to our board, so –
Cool. We'll do it next week.
Yeah. There's more to this thing. And the 74,000 votes that are being questioned in Arizona, I think it's a huge thing. And sadly, NPR National Propaganda Radio chose to continue down the route of calling Trump a liar with regards to, the allegations of voter fraud. And it's just, again, doing a disservice. But then again, it's the government news network. And it's exactly what the Biden regime wants. They want to control the information. And it's really sad that the left wing, can't give you an honest answer. And they're afraid that – I really do think they're afraid that there could be voter improprieties. Matter of fact, they know that there was cheating involved, but they don't want to hear it because then it delegitimizes the entire left wing platform. So –
Yep, really unprecedented, because those numbers are enough to turn the election. It was that close.
Oh, without a doubt.
In all the swing states. And that's not even getting really into the computer chicanery. This is just mail-in ballots alone.
Oh, the mail-in ballots were just the amount, the level of cheating with the mail-in ballots was unconscionable. That I firmly believe, especially when they're uncovering mail-in ballots that weren't folded. Nah, come on, man. No, that doesn't fly. That doesn't even pass a smell test.
Yeah, and were those chicks in Atlanta, the mother Freeman and her daughter, were they ever arrested and charged for vote tampering, or are they still free?
They were pulling the suitcases out from under the table?
Yeah. Exactly that, yeah.
Oh, there's an excuse for that. That You know, how do you know it was in that? They weren't doing anything. Really? And now they're showing this. They fed in the ballots at least 3 to 4 times.
Yeah, I'll check on that this week. And it'll be a good dovetail for the video.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, cool. That was plain old cheating right before our eyes. But there's nothing to see here.
Yeah. Now we got gaslit.
Yeah.
No, honey, that's not a girl next to me, and no, she's not in our house. What you're saying is not really there. Here. You believe me or what you see?
No, that's not perfume. I just passed gas. I mean, yeah, come on, give me a break. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's not lipstick on my collar. No.
No. Yeah, I was just using red Sharpie to mark my golf ball. That's what it was, honey. And it kind of bled over onto my lips.
Okay.
All right, honey. Good. Okay, Vito. Thank you. Understand. You just play so much golf. Yeah.
Gosh, life is so easy.
I know.
All right, well, great show.
Yeah, you have a nice evening. And Sue,
you too.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, you know, Sue, we'll take care. And this will pass. This will all pass. And just give it time.
That's right. We'll
it's tough right
hang
now.
In there.
But we're all praying right, for you every day.
That's all, folks. Thank you, Music
Bye
Blog
for
Talk
now.
Radio.